listen, mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
Good morning, Rick Schaefer. Rogers,
he will have to pot him up. I can't.
You got to pot him up.
Cutting his grass did this to him.
Yeah, he's
mowing the lawn.
He's already he's a habitual cramper.
Is he?
Yeah. I sweat profusely.
He's
when
a habitual cramper.
I drink nothing but water and crawl.
Cramper.
Yeah, yeah.
So do his grandchildren call him Cramper instead of Grandpa?
You're crampy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so Roger now, if you go to the camera, Roger is bent over.
Wow.
His head is beneath the board.
No kidding.
Yes. Yeah, he struggles with this. You know,
wow.
Dan Hampton had a product that was helping him out.
It was the best ever.
Pickle juice, Rick, is what it was.
Pickle juice?
Yeah.
More than just pickle juice.
Rick, great to have you on this morning. Let's start right off the bat. Big news that Dave Van Horn got his new contract, $2.1 million. It makes him the fifth highest paid baseball coach in America on the collegiate ranks. And, you know, it was due that we had heard through the grapevine. I think everybody heard it, that he was not happy about that situation and was ready to get a new contract. And he hired Jimmy Sexton, and so we've got him through 2031. I think was that what the contract is? 5 or 6?
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, if I read this correctly, he had a 10-year contract which lasted through 2031.
Just not enough.
But yeah, but compared to other coaches, and this is the way it works. You know, the salary increase, somebody told us yesterday after he got the $2.1 million, there are still three coaches in the SEC with higher salaries. I think the biggest thing is Dave had to do, and I think some other coaches are doing this too, when their NIL was not adequate going into the 2026 season, some people that have been very good supporters of baseball said that's not good enough. And so I think without – any administrative help, or maybe somebody in the department, but they said we're doing this for baseball, and evidently he had a lot more money to deal with NIL this year, so that probably included, hey, you better keep this guy. So day 65, I kind of think 70 is when he wants to coach still. Now you can't say that,
right?
Because you're still recruiting players. I mean, look at, they've already got five commitments in the 2028 class.
Yeah.
Including Brooks Robinson. What a great name that is,
oh my
huh?
Gosh, amazing.
So that's really good. And
that was interesting, Rick. I don't know if you can read between the lines or not. I just noticed that I heard there was a little bit of not great blood between Coach Van Horn and Hunter Yurchek just because of the money situation. But anyway, he says, quote, I want to thank the University of Arkansas Board of Trustees, Chancellor Robinson, and our athletic department administration for their belief and support of our baseball program. I just thought it was interesting. He names the chancellor by name, but does not name Hunter. And Hunter comes out and makes a nice statement. So the main thing is that they've signed the contract. And
that's right.
Yeah.
He's going to be there. Well,
he wanted to be there too. So
we know who would win a popularity contest there. So
yes, that's true. That is true.
You know, but look, it is so easy. I can remember when I worked at the athletic department and I came down to Little Rock for a football game, and I did an interview with somebody with the Buzz. This would have been in the late 90s, right? I don't know who I was doing the interview with, but somebody called talking about, when is Frank Broyles going to finally retire?
Yeah, you bet. Yeah,
and I'm thinking, what? Are you serious? You don't like Frank Broyles? Are you kidding? And I think a lot of people would love to have him back now, but it's a little too late. But so if you're the athletic director and football's not doing great, and then, and there's this problem and this problem, and people want to point it all out. We don't know. We're not in that building. We don't know all the things that are going on. All we know is that Dave Van Horn's going to be here for at least another 5 years, health being good and all that. All we know is there's a new football coach, and he's doing a lot of right things. You know, yesterday he did the same thing that Houston Nutt did when he got here. Is he went to every classroom.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where his football players were, made sure they were in the first two rows, gave him a chance to go into classrooms.
Yeah.
And so that was a really big deal. Now, Houston, I don't know if he did it by himself. I think he and his assistants spread. Yeah, but anyway, that's a good thing.
Yeah, Rick, think about this. When's the last time, Roger and Christian, that education in the classroom has been a point of discussion?
Yeah, that's
we have not said anything about school in years. I don't remember it being a point of discussion for years. It's just nobody. I was like, well, I'm glad that no, they're still going to class, I guess.
It's all NIL. But they have to.
I know.
See,
that's right.
That's the thing. People say, well, how does Calipari get these one and dones? Do you know every one of his one and dones has finished the semester?
Yeah.
After basketball season, they may go off and train, but they'll do it online. He makes sure they're in good academic standing when they finish the year, because that's his program needs that, and the players understand that, and they're good about it. And it's the same thing in every sport. And of course, with the transfer portal, if you're going somewhere else, you darn sure better be eligible, or you're not going somewhere else.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of motivation there for the players. But there's still motivation for the schools too. Even if they don't graduate from your school, they go somewhere else. They need to. If they leave, it's got to be in good academic standing.
We're visiting with Rick Schaefer, brought to you our good friends at the Family Market, but no, it is not. It's Edwards.
Edwards Food Giant.
That's right.
They're a giant.
I actually was in there the other day and did my first grocery shopping in a month or so, and racked. Well, how much do you think I would spend?
Really?
I spent? I'm a, this,
you
I'm
only,
a single
you
guy.
Only do it once a month?
About that. That's right, yes. I'm a
you
single guy.
You shop once a month.
Yeah, I'm a single guy. I've shopped for me. How much do you think I spent?
Well, you got a girlfriend that eats with you some, right?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, probably a lot of times.
What do you think?
But you're saying most times you just buy for you.
Yeah. A lot of frozen food as well.
And
yes,
you're talking about a month. Okay, I'm going to say $550.
Wow. No. Not Roger. Yeah, wow. Whoa.
$100.
$100 for a month?
He buys all canned foods.
Oh my gosh.
$175.
Okay.
And that feeds you for a month? That doesn't feed
you
for a month.
I eat out a lot, Rick. I eat out a lot.
I bet you do. And you're like Randy. You go on location and people are bringing you food. You don't have to worry about paying for it.
He's telling his
that.
Car.
I do. Yeah. I do eat a lot out of the can. I do that. I'm
you eat
weird.
Out of the can?
I do. Peas and corn. Right out of the can.
Oh, my gosh. Do you know how unhealthy that is?
Is it, though, Rick? Is it?
Yes.
Go
to Edwards Food Giant and buy fresh peas and fresh corn. Don't eat that stuff out of a can.
Rick,
you know how much sodium's in there?
You know, Rick, God made our bodies so amazing that they can they can fend off all this crap that goes in and gets it out of there.
You're right. God has made our bodies are incredibly made. Yeah. Anybody that doesn't believe in God, all you have to do is look at a physical body.
And that's the truth.
Yeah, all amazing. The things that go on and everything. But he also says that it's the temple of God and we're supposed to take care of it.
I know. I'm doing better. I've lost weight, Rick. I'm eating better.
You don't think a can of peas?
A can of peas.
I'm to open right
You've
up.
You've got to be
lid
kidding me.
Hey, even better. Even better, Rick. Watch this. In my bed.
Yes.
I'm eating a can of peas.
You eat a can of peas in your bed.
You ever spill
Boy, is this true confessions or what?
Yes.
My gosh.
We let it all out here on Morning
Mayhem. And this is to encourage your audience?
No, it's not.
It's a different meaning of peeing in the bed.
There you go. Rick, were you surprised, Rick Schaefer, to see that? Thanks to the Edwards Food Giant, by the way. That was my point from the get-go.
And they do sell fresh vegetables
Were you surprised? A stat today, Roger and I were talking about it. And I would have been wrong if you'd have thrown this out. I'd have said not true. For only the second time in the history of the AP poll, you have two Big Ten teams that are 1-2. First time since 1965. I was shocked at that. I would have thought with Ohio State and Michigan. That would have been maybe a 1-2 multiple times, but only twice in the history of the poll going back to whatever the poll goes back to, which is 40s or 50s, I guess.
Yeah.
How about that? Is that not surprising?
I think it goes back to the 30s, and that would be surprising. And back in the mid-60s, it probably was Michigan State.
That could be true.
They were really good.
Right.
They were number one in 66 for a while. So that is amazing to consider. And so – yeah, if you're bragging about how great you are, well, then how come that's the first time since 1965 you've been 1-2?
That's right.
Because I'll bet the SEC's done that.
Yeah, plenty of times. Of course, obviously the Big Ten's won 3 straight national championships. And of course, you know, in the top 10, Rick, the teams we play, Georgia's number 3, Texas number 5, A&M number 8, no Ole Miss this year, number 9, no number 10, Oklahoma, LSU number 11, we play them. And then you're going down to Tennessee, number 20, we play them. And then Utah at 21, we play them. And Missouri at 25, we play them. So
seven. There's seven of them. That's right.
Yeah.
Why not? because when you beat them, ESPN's running your highlights the whole night because they do the top 25.
So
if you beat them, you get a lot of recognition out of it. So why not? It's the SEC. It's not going to get any easier, and it's going to be that way every year.
That's right. Yeah.
And this year they don't even play Alabama or Ole Miss.
I know.
So.
Isn't it weird not playing Ole Miss? I was sort of having to be like, wait a minute, we're not playing. Well, you know what, Rick? If I'm not mistaken,
that's the first time since 1981.
Since I was a freshman.
Yeah, 1981. They renewed the rivalry.
Jackson.
The last time they had played a regular season game was 61, and they played a couple times in bowl games. Excuse me, but they renewed it in 81 when Arkansas went in the SEC, and been playing them every year since.
Yeah, I remember it was the. Do you remember, Rick? It was the largest crowd.
Oh, how could I forget that game? It was a neutral field.
Yeah, it was in Jackson. The largest crowd in the state of Mississippi history.
For sporting events.
Yeah,
and Ole Miss was the host team, and the agreement was it was going to be Little Rock and Jackson, and Ole Miss was the host team. But Arkansas had 25,000 fans there, and it was back and forth, and Ole Miss was driving for the tying score, and Arkansas John Forcade was Ole Miss's quarterback.
John Forcade, that's right.
Arkansas intercepted a pass, and near the end of the game, won the game, and it went on from there.
Yeah, but how about that? So that has been a continuous thing. I remember when we did that. Of course, I was not familiar with it because I wasn't from here. But you know, I forget what was that. What was the previous year we had played?
Well, because in 1960 in Little Rock, Ole Miss kicks a field goal on the last play of the game, and it wasn't good. But for some reason, there was an official blew the whistle. And said he blew it before the kick, and the game was tied 7-7 at the time. And so they let him kick again, and everybody in the end zone knew it was wide right, but the official didn't know it was wide right, and he called it good. And it was 10-7, and after that, I think there were some fisticuffs in the stands, as there were Ole Miss game fans at the game in Little Rock, too. And Frank Broyles decided at that point, he was still, that was his third year at Arkansas, that the Texas game could never be the biggest game on the schedule as long as Arkansas was playing Ole Miss. Because in East Arkansas, Arkansas fans hated Ole Miss a lot more than they hated Texas.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah.
And so 61, they were already scheduled to play in 61. They did, and that was it.
Have I brought this up to you, too, speaking of great and Coach Broyles? Did I mention today, this year, I know, Roger, I've told you. Rick, this is the 50th anniversary of the last game that Frank Broyles and Daryl Royal coached.
The season happened to be
the last game was, who, Rick?
Yeah.
Against each other.
It was Arkansas, Texas,
It's a crazy stat that they both ended their career against each other 50 years later.
I think you told that story.
Rick. I mean, 50 years
ago. Yeah, I think I've told that story. Coach Broyles had already decided he was going to retire. He and Royal were tight friends. And even though they were big rivals. And so he called Daryl Royal, maybe it was the week of the game, and Royal said, hey, this is my last game. And Coach Broyles, it can't be. This is my last game. And so I think that's why. I don't think Coach Broyles would have said anything until after the game. But when he found out Daryl was retiring too, he gave it to Orville Henry, and Orville broke it. Before the game.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's actually 51 seasons, though.
Yeah,
you know how that works.
Rick, a couple things before we let you go. One is that this is the anniversary of this was the morning at 8 o'clock that he was supposed to be playing at 10 or 11. But Jimi Hendrix goes on at Woodstock at 8 a.m. And does the famous Star-Spangled Banner with his electric guitar. But think of the acts that were in that, you know, because you know bands. Jimi Hendrix, Sha-na-na, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Blood, Sweat & Tears, Sha-na-na. Johnny Winter, The Band. Going down the list. Joe Cocker and the Grease Band, Jefferson Airplane, The Who, Sly and the Family Stone, Janis Joplin.
No Cow Sills?
CCR, Grateful Dead. I mean, just, I mean, that, what an amazing, Can
Sha
Heat.
Sha Na Na, when you say Sha Na Na.
Yeah, Sha Na Na.
That's not the Sha Na Na we
Well, who else could it be?
It can't be.
That's hard to believe, like the old doo-woppers. That's hard to believe, well, but maybe they were.
Let me go back and
the
look.
The Bowser guy. Yeah. No way that's the Sha Na Na we know, right?
Let me listen.
Well, it could have been. Could have been.
Sha Na Na. It looks like it. Yeah. How about that? They were the ones that they went on before Hendrix, so they were probably at 3 o'clock in the morning.
All I remember was, I think I was a college freshman, and I thought, you know, it was out in the field, and I mean, everything in the world was going on in the crowd.
What a mess. Yeah, it was crazy.
It just was. And really, you think about that time. That's the time of the sexual revolution and all that kind of stuff.
Whoa!
And culturally, seriously, culturally, from a very moralistic America, that's when the slide started. And we're still seeing it today.
I think we got Justin Moore on the line there, Raji Dodge. Good morning, JM. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm well. How are you?
Awesome. The tie line's working. I love it.
Yeah, how about that?
Justin Moore would not have been playing at Woodstock.
How about that, Justin? You know, Hendrix was supposed to go on probably at 10 o'clock. Was it Saturday night, Roger, I guess, or Sunday? Was it Sunday night or Saturday night?
I don't know.
He doesn't go on until 8 a.m. Most everybody's gone. The crowd's smaller. The great Jimmy, he's closing out Woodstock.
He plays those songs.
Eight a.m. and he does all. Half of them are stoned or asleep.
Stinking.
Out there.
They're stinking.
He was probably supposed to go on at like 10 or 11 night before.
I give him credit though. He goes out there and he finishes off and he plays the famous Star Spangled Banner, you know, maybe the great, most well-known rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Hey, before we let Rick go, though, it is the birthday of, I want to hear what your comment is on this because you love baseball.
Yeah.
The great Roberto Clemente's birthday is today. Yeah. Where do you put Roberto Clemente in terms of just one of the greats of all time?
Okay, so I'm reading a book called One Day in September. My brother tipped me to it. It's a brand new book. It's about a game that was played in September 27th, 1917, and it was a game to raise money for the family of a guy named Tim Mulnone, who people today would not even have any clue who he was. But he was a famous guy in Boston. He was a sports writer. He had been a player, and he was kind of the voice of Major League Baseball at that time. So they played a dedication game, and it was the Boston Red Sox, and Babe Ruth was a pitcher for them, against a team of all-stars, and the owners allowed their players to miss a regular season game to come play in these games. I'm leading up to Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, yeah.
The outfield against the Red Sox, get this, the outfield of the all-stars was Ty Cobb, Tris Speaker, and Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Wow.
That was the outfield.
Yeah.
And as I'm reading this, I'm thinking, the only time I think an outfield that would have been comparable to that played any time together would be in the All-Star games when you had Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, and Roberto Clemente.
Yeah, that's pretty stout.
And so Clemente, I don't know if I've shared on this show or not, I probably have. The first game I ever saw a Major League Baseball game was in 1960. It was the Cardinals against the Pirates. And Roberto Clemente was the right fielder. He had a home run in that game. The Pirates won 4-2. But something happened in that game that I know has happened many times since. Not frequently, but I've never seen it in person. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of Major League games. In Stan Musial's first at bat, he had a one-hopper to right field, and Roberto Clemente threw him out at first base. And this crowd gasps. I'm 9. I don't even know what's going on. And I had that confirmed later by Dick Grote, who was in that game. I met him, and he said, yeah, I remember the play. But Clemente's arm, I can remember, I'd listen to the Cardinals all the time, and Jack Buck and Harry Carey were doing the games, and Buck one time said he thought that Clemente allowed a ball to kind of roll around a little bit in right field because he knew the hitter would run from second and try and get a third, and he'd throw him out at third. And sure enough, he did. The guy had an amazing arm, great hitter, great heart. He was a hypochondriac. You know, he had all these gyrations with his neck and everything else, and he'd talk about how he didn't feel good, and then he'd go out and go 3-for-4. And, of course, untimely death. He was flying a mission to Nicaragua, had a plane full of food that he was taking, and the plane went down on January 1st.
Yeah,
his last hit in the major leagues was his 3,000th.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Known, really, Roger, too, for what he did, as Rick said, humanitarian causes. And mm-hmm. Justin, if you go back, and what's funny, I ran into a video the other day. You know, sometimes on social media, which I know, Justin, you don't spend a lot of time on there, but this Bo Jackson throw from left field track goes out Harold Raines at the
– that was stupid.
It's crazy. But apparently the other day I saw one where they said, you know, everybody brags on Bo's arm. Let's look at Roberto Clemente. And they actually showed some video of him throwing out from right field throwing it to the plate, you know, in the, you know, on a rope.
Oh, is that right?
And he's a great athlete, too. He got a cool name, Roberto Clemente.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, and so anyway. Yeah.
And he was a bad ball hitter, too. I mean, you could not get him out with anything. You'd think, okay, low and outside, he's not going to hit this. Yeah, he'd get a triple to right field. He just was a great, great ball player.
Rick, thank you again to Edwards Food Giant. Thank you for your contribution this morning on the show. You learned today when you think you have it bad, you think Basil's eating peas out of a can. And
it's
bad.
Justin, coach this guy.
He knows there's no hope.
Don't eat peas out of a can.
Justin knows there's no hope. There's no hope.
Man.
What about corn?
Corn
no,
too?
Not out of a can.
Oh, yeah.
But that's good, Rick.
Is there anything better tasting than fresh corn? You put it, you boil it, and it's great.
Who has time for fresh corn? I do strain.
Yeah, it takes like 10 minutes to boil it.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Thank you.
Who's got
Justin,
that kind
coach
of time?
Him. Coach him. Help him.
All right, Rick.
I'm afraid he's a lost cause, Rick.
Too late. It's too late. All right, Rick. Have a great day, buddy.
Thanks, Rick.
You too.
All right. Well,